نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الوالي الكريم، وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين، والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. أما بعد، are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it, and that He is alone and has no part, and that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universe. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend, and send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles, and on the Messiah, the anointed one, and on the Mahdi, the guide, and on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
Listen to the Supreme Grand Master, Naya Malachi Zodak L.
Same about God, an avatar, that Vinny incarnates from time to time. He never implied that Master Flaw Muhammad was the creator of the boundless universe in his teachings. Not once did he ever make that statement. He made it very clear that Master Flaw Muhammad's father was a law before him, and that Master Flaw Muhammad comes from a succession of laws, which we also find in the Bible with the word Yahweh. You find a succession of Yahweh, because Yahweh is given different attributes at different times. And certain times in the Bible they say God only, other times they say Lord God, other times they say Yahweh, or just the Lord. And I'll get into that maybe a little later on when we get into it. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad didn't have to say to me, this man here, come take over the nation of Islam. That wouldn't have been within his place. He already has mentioned and made it clear that the person that's coming after me is an incarnation. He gave you every sign and every symbol. He said an angelic being is going to come. This we have recorded and we put out the public. Don't let people in mention Islam ignore it. What we have to understand then is, where did he get his definition of an angelic being? Being an ex-follower of Noble Dualim, of the Mauryan science that was himself, he got his definition of an angelic being from an incarnation of truth into flesh. That's what they call an angelic being, truth into flesh. When a person comes with the truth. When they ask me, what is my religion, I say truth. They ask me, what do I believe, I say truth. They ask me, do I have faith, I say truth. You understand? Because what I stand on as a foundation, the strength of our nation is tell us the truth or don't tell us nothing at all.
Right.
So the messenger prisoner told me on from his dying bed to come take over his nation because I would have laughed. And I told him I don't have time to funnel around with the beliefs of your nation. I have a greater job to do. I have to bring in the seven thunders. Any other questions? Is that clear? Thank you very much. Any other questions? Go ahead.
To the ancient ones with the cross circles on the desk somewhere. In relationship to the picture that he took from a bull,
yes.
Of a Rouhani with the eyes of Osiris, did you just ask him, was you able to do that just yourself, or did the ancient ones help draw that type of topography
People, anybody will tell you was watching the program as I was watching the program. Right? We sat there, we watched the program, and when it got to that point, I said, look, the Eye of Ra. That's the first time I recognized it.
Right, it's the one that
I hadn't seen it before.
Right, because there was a woman called, like, the ancient ones, like, how they always draw those cross circles and stuff. I was wondering, you know, I said, wow, like they don't did it again. Did Donald Gilkey, did he do it?
No, Donald didn't do that one. That was greater than dark. Whoever carved that symbol, but all the brothers who are here on this land, when we build, and as we construct things, we have to put a road here to leave this now, we have to put a road here, all that was by chance. And we were just as amazed as everybody in here who saw it to see the Eye of Ra carved into the land, which could only be seen from flying above it. Only for flying above. So therefore, it was placed there for some being that will come above and look down and say, there's Akun Ra on. Another miracle for the Nuwapian nation of Moa.
Right.
Insofar as things like that have not happened for the 5% nation of Islam, Sunni, Shiite, Ahmadiyya, Wahhabi, all the Israelite Hebrews or the Hebrew Israelites, or the Church of the Israelites, none of them fools have had any miracles manifest for them anywhere. If you can't see, that's a sign that someone carved an eye shape in the ground as we're constructing. We're just beginning to construct, as you can see. But right at the center, right over there where you circle the Mirage, they put an eye, if you can't see it. And I was wondering why they were doing an article, because they did the same article last year. I was wondering what was the point, because when you really listen to the article, they didn't say anything bad, or they couldn't say anything bad, because they're not doing anything bad. So now, what was the purpose of that article? That article was for us to see. Because there's no other way we would have saw that eye, because none of us would have thought of flying over here with a helicopter. And when you watch the media, they have a lot of other problems going on in the world that warrant more attention than flying over this little village with a handful of folk. For them to come over there, that was for me and you to see. And that's why we immediately grabbed it, put it on video, and we even added more to it to fill it in so we can send it out to people's families and stuff who might want to get a copy of it. Just so they can see. Now, explain this one. Let me see on the wall. It just happens to look like an eye. Right? It's easy to do that. And we don't mind you doing that, because that means you don't belong with us. But none of us have any problem seeing the eye of Ross there. The only people who don't want to see it, so fine with us.
Yes, sir, what else, brother, too, in the chuckles and stuff, since I've been meditating and stuff, I noticed, they feel as they align and stuff, I feel a real surge of energy that comes to it. It seems how my body, is being drawn out. They say when you astral travel, because a brother told me, he was a black belt in the martial arts. He said he had been meditating for about 2 or 3 years. And then, at one time, his body was so astral projected, an astral project. And I was wondering, was this the feeling I was getting for those chakras somewhat aligned and how I was meditating? But should I get scared? I feel the strong force is lifting out, the spirit is trapped, getting ready to pull out.
If I were to tell you that, I'd be lying. I have no idea what you're feeling. If I was, because I'm not there with you. And he doesn't have any idea what you're feeling either. And unless he's a doctor and he's diagnosed your body and know your blood pressure and know all the ailments or possibilities of why your metabolism might be going through those changes, it is unsafe for him to make statements about what you should and should not do or some metaphysical crap. You follow what I'm saying? I don't play those games. I do not know, standing here, what your body is going through, and no one else should try to tell you unless you go see a physician and make sure your body is, your blood pressure, or sometimes high blood pressure can make you hallucinate. It's very thing can happen when you're not fully healthy. So you got to be careful of these storefront mystics who read 3 books about metaphysics and transcendental meditation and wrote 3 fake rich. If all that, they got all this spiritual knowledge for us, we don't need that crap. That's as bad as religion. We don't need that either. But follow the path of own. And when we reach the level where it's time for you to make a separation between the you and the real you, I'll tell you. And I'll be there for that purpose, but I cannot speak on something I'm not a part of. It'll be wrong. Yes, brother?
I had a question about how to control desires and what's the importance of burning your desires out.
It depends on the desires a person is asking to control and how dangerous they are to you. But as Buddha would say, desire is the lead to suffering. But you have to go back 5,000 years until his period of time to find out what he was talking about. It's very difficult to apply Buddhism today, because what he was talking about back then, he didn't even have the temptation
that we have placed before today. So he was basically walking around in a desert environment and wasn't much to desire any damn way. So his philosophy of desiring to lead the suffering was like, you could just about finish what the heck were you desiring? Now, if you're talking about the sexual desires, you're talking about desires for wealth and success, there's nothing wrong with desiring to succeed as long as you go about it in an honest way. You're talking about a sexual desire, right? You can't control your sexual desire. There's women out there who control it for you to meet the right one. So you have to, if you want me to address it, you have to be more specific as to what type of desire you feel is conquering you. You know what I'm saying? But the basic fundamentals, man, move on with your feelings, because that's a god oppression in you that they've done so much to try to suppress in us as a people. And I'm not talking about white people or black people, but as a people, this force that tries to suppress us because our divinity, our creativity pushes forward, and sometimes we speed up faster than they want us to, because they have us at a controlled mode of thinking. You know, it's about, is summer coming again? And we're all preparing for summer. Someone has got, like, this dial in the dial, says summer's coming in, and this is what happens in the summer. And these are the color clothes they buy in the summer. And this is the kind of music they do, this and they do. You know what I'm saying? And when sometimes you run up ahead of them and jump summer, winter, and they're not ready for that divinity, and they try to suppress you, to keep you from developing the God qualities in you that will make you start to turn around and look at the world, the conditions, the people, and become concerned enough to try to do something about it. You see what I'm saying? Anybody want to say something?
No, Grandpa. Let's see. I have a question about...
Your BNC is my age.
I have a question about the plane of force, the seven planes, the plane of force, and voluntary
actions,
involuntary
actions.
I
want
to know, how do I master that
and
get over it?
How do you master the plane of force?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know who misinformed you, but you're on the physical plane. This is the physical plane you're on. This plane, it meshes right into the plane of force. The plane of force is nature in itself. It's the prana, as people call it, or as we call it, the hyosis inside every living thing that grows. And you are a part of that which grows. They tell you you're created when after you come out your mother, all you do is grow. And I say, no, you wasn't created, you were grown. From original nine ether. You're growing. You're a part of the plane of force. You can't ever conquer the plane of force. You can metamorphosize out of this state onto the spiritual plane, which is the next level, and then onto the mental plane, which is the level above that. But you can't conquer the plane of force. You'll be still depending on breathing and consuming food and all the things that the plane of force provides to us that makes us living beings. Okay? Yes, anybody?
Being that the disagreeable being is Chinese New Year.
Say that again.
Being that the disagreeable being is Chinese New Year, what kind of effect does Chinese New Year to make the hair on the music that they're saying?
I'm having a hard time understanding what you said. Chinese New Year?
Being that it disagreed with being changed all the music from the original biorhythm of Earth.
Oh, I understand, yes.
What kind of effect does it have if the music be changed to mix?
I understand. I think that came from a class on the music class, right? Well, if you wasn't in the music class, we discussed that. What he's trying to point out is a subject came up about music. And we were talking about sound in itself and instruments. And I said, unfortunately, people on Earth haven't heard real music in a long time. And they said, well, if you take a piano and this is the C note, it has to happen within the body of the piano. Once the key is struck, then the hammer moves and it strikes the string, and the string vibrates and gives off the sound, correct?
Correct.
With a saxophone, there's a reed.
And you put your teeth on it, and your lips, and your mouth, and you blow. And it vibrates the trees and stimulates most of your woodwind instruments. Is that correct?
Right.
With a guitar and a bass, there's a string. And you take your finger. And you strike the string, or you take a pick, and you pluck the string, and it vibrates and gives you a sound. In the sense of, in the case of a conga, you take your hand and you hit the skin, or in a drum trap that you hit it with sticks. You with me? Now, what they're not telling you or not making clear to you is you never really hear the scene in its perfection, because the contact of the hammer against the string is also mixed in the sound. The wind from your mouth vibrating the reed is also mixed in the pure sound. The contact of the thumb against the string or the pick, it hits the string and vibrates, is also mixed in the sound. So as you go through a song, and different musicians are playing, all the contact made on each instrument creates a new noise, a contact noise, that is now mixed down into the music, and you've learned to listen to it and accept that violence in there, even in the most soothing music you listen to. The violence is there by the contact. You follow me? So we were saying that real sound is gone. What the elders would do is they would go into a cane field or bamboo field. And I know you don't know bamboo looks like, y'all. You have bitches there. You with me? Yeah. And they would cut these bamboos at different angles, a whole bunch of different bamboo shoots. And as the season changed, which would be gradually, and the wind increased, the wind would hit these bamboo shoots at different angles that they caused their testing. And you would hear all throughout the fields, the villagers would hear that as a symbol of the signs that the season was coming in. And the wind, without the flux, without the necessity to pull the wind from the lung and blow it out, which made contact, the natural flow of wind, align them or tune them with sound, when sound was pure. You follow? Human beings, even, we have to take our lorax and squeeze it to make high sound, or expand it to make deep sound in our voice. And there we have a vibration, rubbing together, a friction, a contact, a sound. So I said, actually, if you ever heard real music, you'd be hearing the voice of the Most High. And if you heard the angels sing, you'd be hearing real music. You hear me? That's where the subject went. Now, from there, the brother took it to the lyrics of the song. Is that right? And what has happened is the mood of the new generation that I speak about so much has grown in a way where they no longer have fear. And the way people express themselves in every culture is always through their music. The new generation is starting to express a lack of fear for society and what it's about. Wu-Tang, and I can go on for a million names. They're throwing off of chemistry. Now, whether Wu-Tang and them are serious or not doesn't matter. Because the children that are watching it believe they're serious.
See, when you see Ice Cube, before he did the movie about the snake, what is it, Anaconda, he played like he was out the hood, a young hoodlum from the gangs of California. And he had a crown on his face, and he implied, I ain't taking no mess from nobody. Right? Then they gave him a movie part, and they let a white boy tie him down. He's supposed to be so racist. Take his knife and kick it out of his hand. And he ends up in the middle of the forest running from an animated snake. Now, the child who took him serious and frowned his face and started folding his fingers and doing different stuff, who won't get the opportunity to become a movie star or a script written by somebody, this child is now what? He is confused. The game didn't stop when Snoop Dogg took a movie part. The game didn't stop when Ice Cube took a movie part. The game didn't stop when Ice-T took a music part. The game kept going. So those kids that were listening to them were really believing that what they stood for as gangsters was true and real. So now they have bred a generation of real ones who aren't scared and it's coming out in their music every day. The way they feel about anybody that comes out against them is like very similar to what we used to say to the Sunnis. You can come, just come right. Don't come with conversation. You really come and just come right and let's get it over with. That's their mentality. You follow? So now society has got to get rid of hip-hop music. Because regardless of how much money it makes or how commercial it is, it has now bred dangerous children who will kill you. No joke. So they made sure they let Erykah Badu, Joe, Braxton, and a couple of other people who are more geared towards R&B take all the Soul Train awards. You didn't see Wu-Tang up there. In fact, you did, but they got mad because they didn't get an award. You didn't see Snoop Dogg getting no award. Your father, Puff Daddy, did Uncle Tom's show. He tap danced. He did the old soft shoe. The old Uncle Remus. The old Bone Jangle. He got up there and tap danced. Remember that?
Right.
And then slid down like Brother Sid used to do. And then tried to rap while having on a white suit. With a red satin vest, with a white satin vest, and a Preston hat. And little Clark Kent came out with a blonde wig on, trying to look like Marilyn Monroe. And sequin dress. He didn't take her clothes off at them awards, did she? No, she did a little rapping from the backstage first. She didn't see it for the first couple of seconds. Then she came out of wave and then walked off. Like the, what's the piano? Liberace. Yeah. The guy inside the road boy, that's Liberace's game. And then they rolled off the stage. Well, Dad didn't do nothing hardcore, nothing pertaining to the Union Mafia, or the Syndicate, or the Crime Family, all that stuff there. Nothing was there on that stage like that. Was it? It was a sign to you, young hip-hoppers, that the man has stepped in and decided to eliminate that kind of music. And that he controls it. Why? Because, as Plato once said, the mask the actor is wearing is apt to become his face. These children who didn't know that Snoop Dogg and all of them was acting like this because they was after the Monday, it was all theatrics to them. These kids took it serious, and now society has a serious problem. A generation of kids that will shoot you dead. for nothing or less than that. The latest rap songs coming out now is I want to dance and party. They don't want to fight. That's what they're saying. Because having a good time is next to or near impossible in the hip-hop generation without the possibility of a shootout or a bloodbath. But when we was coming up, we could go and have a good time and party and go home. Talk to any girl on the party we wanted. Now a young man go to party, he's afraid if he talks to some girl from the wrong gang, there might be a bloodbath, because there's no fun. It's fear.
Am I right?
So they have to change the system. And that shows you how easy they can manipulate our emotions. Because we all watched that Soul Train War. And I looked at our laugh and kept laughing because I had young people in our house saying, look at that. And they was like, what? I said, you don't even see it, do you? Look, this looks normal to you, doesn't it? Heavy D is on the stage. Grandfather Heavy D. Patti LaBelle. What is he doing up there? What does he got to do with Soul Train Awards supposed to be for the young? And why wasn't it given by, what's his name, Russell? Why was it given by Soul Train? How old that guy is? He's older than me. Robin Hillis, he could be my grandfather. How is the hip-hop generation surrendering to him? But they can call us old fogies and out of date. R&B, that stuff is all dead, new stuff is in. I acknowledge and respect the reality of it. But I also, as a reader of time and space, I see that the man that messed around and let it be great. There's several dimensions to our nature as a people. We can be very cooperative, or we can be very uncooperative. As a people, if you like and if you respect us, we can get along with you. If you disrespect us, we'll tolerate it even. If you abuse us, we will tolerate it for a while. And then something clicks. And our whole nature changes. It happens in our house as children. You're not there, so you don't do it. See, it's different the way Europeans chastise their children and the way Nubians chastise their children. They'll tell Johnny to stop something 6 or 7 times. I and you know that didn't happen in your house. Believe it. And they're saying, we have got to spend billions of dollars changing the way these kids think. Any worse? The type of revolution that can happen, not about no KKK, no Nation of Islam revolution. Nation of Islam is very docile. And they're very profitable to the Western society. You looking at me like, huh? Every time I saw Minister Louis Farrakhan for the last 10 years, he had on a new suit. A Western suit. A Western shirt. A Western tie. Italian locals. He ain't having no problem financing the what? Well, that's one way to say it. There's no such thing as a white man. There's another just a businessman. There's a whole bunch of niggas that are out there that are more dangerous than white people. Thank you. Thank you. But when he says, when he stands up at the head of a nation and spends from head to toe thousands of dollars on clothes, then they can guarantee that most of his followers are going what? So they love him. You think they don't like him. They love him. His face was on the top cover of Time magazine. That's an advertisement. That's a commercial. Right? And then when the Time magazine this year threw a party for all the celebrities that was on the cover of the magazine, Farrakhan went. He was at the party. He's like, down with America and all white people are devils and we are angels. Can I go to the party too? I can't follow no man who thinks like that. I can't trust him. I can't follow no man who's concerned with what's going on in Iraq. And we got problems right here. Serious problems right here. I don't see the Nation of Islam out there helping them people hold them houses up in California. And those ain't all white houses floating down here. I don't see the Nation of Islam volunteering to go stop some of the catastrophes that Mother Nature is inflicting upon people. I don't see it. So don't give me that crap about you care. You know what I'm saying? They have a condition to deal with the changing of a people like the changing of God. Our people are changing. And if they don't do something soon to change the way this younger generation feels, they're going to have hell on their hands. Because the average young person don't have a future. They don't believe in the future. They don't believe in a pension. They don't believe in retirement. They don't give a damn about a PhD or a master's degree or a bachelor's of arts. They don't give a damn about it. All they want to do is get paid. They don't care how they get paid. And you know where that comes from? That comes from dormant genes again. Because we came from tropical environments. Where we walked along if we was in the Caribbean and we wanted a pineapple or a coconut or a mango or something to eat, it was there on the tree. If I was hungry, I just went on and took it. And that stemmed all the way back down. Now you bring the people into the environment and then you kill all the trees. You understand? And tell me the only way I can have an apple is if I buy it. My natural nature says I was able to walk up and
amen.
So if I happen to be walking by a grocery store and there's an apple there, I instinctively feel it. Let me do that again. Most of the gold and diamonds come out of Africa. If most of the gold and diamonds come out of Africa, and I just happened to be walking down the street with a couple of my homies. And you got all this gold and diamonds that was mine that you took and didn't ask me for, so I decided to relieve you of that. That is not real. Now, when you took it out of Africa, that was real. When I take it off you, that is reclaiming. Now, I'm not advocating anybody going out and taking anybody's gold. I'm just saying, we're talking about why we think the way we think. And if they would put some scientists behind us and study how we genetically came into what we are, they'd be able to solve a lot of our problems. We have to become our own scientists of our own community so we'll understand what a brother's done. I have to love me some stuff, man. I didn't have no money. I had to take care of my family. You know, the baby was hungry. I just took off. What's sad is I understand what he means. If that was sad, I understand what breeds that mentality and why it's there. I'm sorry, but I do. It's a reality. But the reality we have to change. You follow? And they're going to help us by changing the lyrics. And they're going to change the lyrics by determining what does not get played on the radio. And that's going to change the way the children think. All the young boys now got on diamond rings, and all the chest pieces they have now are full of diamonds, and they're back to Rolexes and Breitlings, and they're wearing alligator jackets, and they're getting into the money. You know what's interesting? The richer a man is, the less apt he is to commit crime. Not because he doesn't have to, but because he doesn't want to lose all that stuff he got. See, you walk up to a rich man, you think he don't want to fight, because you poor and you work with him, and he's going to go back and say, well, it's okay. It's not that he won't fight you, that thing was as poor as you, but he's like, listen, just don't dirty my clothes. And I want to go home to my big TV and he wants to go home, he don't want to get arrested and go to jail with you on the street. You yelping and screaming because you think you got him scared. You curse all boy, he's up short. Whatever you say, home, just take it. Go, take my woman wallet, go. Because he doesn't want to bother. See, they're realizing that. If they start making some more of hip hop is rich, it won't be so easy to go to jail. You got a lot to leave behind when you got a big house on a hill with a big swimming pool and a car for six or seven garage cars, with Porsches and Rolls Royces and Range Rovers and diamonds. You got all that stuff. You don't want to go to jail. You don't want to walk around an old jailhouse suit. You don't want to give up that filet mignon and get back into that chicken pot stuff they make up. You don't want to be sleeping next to no dude named Ralph. So I don't care what you think. Snoop Dogg don't want to go to jail. He was in jail. He was humble like a girl. Yes, Your Honor. But some of them crazy serial killers, they be go in jail with their hands up, squeeze their hands like a damn dog. All through me. Taking faces. You see them? They ain't got nothing. They ain't got nothing to lose. OJ was just like a kid in public school for a whole year. He shot like this. And didn't respond until they took his stuff. Then he was going to go on the radio, go on television, and start, before they was like, I ain't saying nothing. After they took his stuff, he was like, I have something to say. You don't know what's that we have?
Talk to me.
Yes.
Good day.
Thank
you. Yes.
The picture of you in the book, like I said, the record is where you have all white hair.
Yes.
I want you to explain to me why I have to do a reaction to that. I felt like this was a thing that I never met. Was there a struck moment and happy that was
It might have something to do with this. I don't know who opened it. I don't know how you knew that was there. Might have something to do with this.
Alright.
Whenever you see the Anunnaki, you'll always notice that they have white hair. If I don't dye my hair is all white. You follow? I dye my hair to look as much like y'all as I possibly can in order not to intimidate people. That's why oftentimes you see me with clear glasses and then all other times you see me with dark glasses. Because oftentimes my eyes start to transform and many people say, God, man, you know, maybe my daughters and everything. Put some dark glasses on the truck. It looks like you're looking right through me. Now my mind wasn't even there. I transform periodically through different characters that speak to y'all through me. You follow? And so that might be the reality that as we approach this beginning called the ending of the thunder, that people who are spiritually sensitive are beginning to see something is getting ready to happen.
Right.
And they start to get a little nervous.
A growing empowerment by Christianity and their way of thinking. I don't want to slam it, but there seems to be so much confusion here. I mean, talking to all the times you're talking about having sex. How are we supposed to help our children around the
world? I don't really think there's too much of a problem with the Christian Christianity and Islam no more. I you know, because they have outworn themselves. I think they just are living on borrowed time.
Right.
But most people don't believe that crap no more.
Right.
They just don't accept it. Every time I come here, I go through the Bible. In a little while, I'll go through the Bible and pick a subject, chapter 4. And I'll start messing with chapter 4 and I'll read it. And you'll see just how ridiculous it is. Now, you can call me a blasphemer. You can call me anything you feel like calling me. I really don't give a damn. The fact, only thing I'm concerned with is what I'm saying, is it true or false? That's all. I'm not concerned with how much you like me, because I got a lot of people don't like me because I speak the truth. And they try to make other people dislike me. People oppose me, disliking me because the nigga they like don't like me. And that nigga got some foolish belief. And I'm the person that shook the foundation of his belief. Instead of him seeing me as his father and his friend and his teacher and his guide, he sees me as a troublemaker and doesn't take the time to analyze the depth of what I'm putting in front of him because he wants to maintain this silly belief. You understand? When I walk up to a Muslim, I'm like, you know, what? what? Where do we start? First of all, you don't speak Arabic. Step one, so you've never read this Quran in Arabic. That's step one, so you don't know what it is. Do I? Yes. I've been tried and proven over the years. Muslims said, everybody is trying to doubt me, I whip their ass and it's over. Against us, and you come in with right knowledge, the right stuff, me and you will embrace and be friends. I don't care if it's Egyptology, I don't care if it's Christianity, I don't care what it is, if it's what you're saying is true, then beautiful. But don't try to feed me some crap for me to feed my children to put them further under some type of spell, because I ain't happy. When I say people ask me questions, people very seldom get up and just ask me direct questions like, do you believe in Jesus? Do you so-and-so? It's always some metaphysical off-the-wall. I spend more time
answering questions about what other people mentioned to people, and they got the man in front of them here, so let me go ask him. He's standing right there. You know, how do I ask a question about people standing from another planet? How do I ask a question about thoughts of little things that would make their life better when dealing with people, they avoid? They want to talk to me about something that makes no sense at all. And I'm the man that's been sent here to you to straighten things out before the coming of the real Messiah. This mess, these lies, the fake doctrine, the fake Christianity, all of it got to be put under our feet before the real Savior comes. I am not saying there is no Savior coming. I am not saying I am Jesus. Hello? Let's get that straight. That's the first thing that comes out your mouth. It's all he did, he did. I am not your Jesus. Your father, you don't even know your Jesus. You know Paul's Jesus. You never got a chance to even know who Tammuz was. They wouldn't let you get within 10 feet of him. And the man you read about in your Bible, that ain't your Jesus. Your Jesus predates him by thousands of years. And is he coming back? Yeah, he's coming back. But he ain't coming back from those Jerusalem, but they don't even have a record of a Jesus in Jerusalem. None. There's no recorded history of a man named Jesus Christ living in Jerusalem. You say, well, of course not. He was a Hebrew. Yeshua HaMashiach in Hebrew. He wasn't there either. And it was, as he was, all we ask is quite simple. Give us some proof that the man existed. You don't even know when the nigga was born. Walk up to y'all and say, when was Jesus born? December 25th. No, he wasn't. That was Nimrod's birthday. When was he born exactly? Where was he born exactly? And who was his daddy? Who was the boy's daddy? Don't tell me God is Jesus' father, because I'll open this Bible to St. John, and St. John will tell you the same spirit is what? His light is every man that cometh into the world. Because God clearly says in the book of St. John, chapter 1, that that is the same spirit that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world was made by him, the world was not. Right there it says that if Jesus was an incarnation of God by virtue of a spiritual incarnation, then every living being here is also a Jesus. Because it says about I breathed into you and my spirit became a living soul. God admits to have placed himself in the chest of everybody here. Now, if Jesus was a physical man, now say that, because once we get to Corinth about the cross story, you with me? And I say, why was he on the cross crying?
Y'all been told me.
Why was he on the cross? Suffering. Why did he seek not to be crucified? You say that was the mortal side of him. Wait, wait, wait. Jesus was born into this world to die on the cross for your sins that you may be searched and saved. Is that what y'all see? Yes or no?
No.
Yes, sir.
No.
That means if Jesus was the Spirit of God incarnate in flesh, then he knew before he got into the body everything that would happen to him while he's in that body, wouldn't he? Yes, he would. So once he got in the body, and he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he told his disciples, wait here for me.
Yeah.
He went a little further, he fell on his face and sweated blood. He said, oh my father, this is be possible. Let this come to the heck was he talking to? If he was the father.
Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass by me. Not if I will, but if thou wilt be done. Who is God talking to? Unless God also had a God and Father. And if God had a Father, that makes more sense to me, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus came to lead people to the Father. He was not who we should be led to. We were supposed to be led to the Father. And Jesus defined the presence of the Father as our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be
thy name.
Thy kingdom
come.
Thy will
come.
On earth as it is
in heaven.
His will was already happened in heaven. Give us this. He didn't say to ask Jesus for no bread. They were talking to the Father. Try it again. He didn't say, my Father. He said, pray after this manner. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed, holy, or sacred be thy name. Right? Is that what it says in Matthew?
Yes.
How are people getting married in the name of Jesus when the Father's name is sacred? How are people getting married in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ when the Father is sacred? When the kingdom that we need on earth is the kingdom that's in heaven, already ruled by the heavenly Father. Okay. Who? All things. Who is angry? Who shifted around? And why? Why do they have you worshiping the Son and not the Father? Why have you marrying and getting buried and having ritual in the name of baptism, in the name of the Son and not the Father? Why?
No.
Because you can't handle the truth. You don't want to know the real Jesus. You like Paul's fake Jesus. They had to doctor that Bible up and muster it up and change it around to hide reality. The wedding at Cana was Jesus' wedding. Say what? No, Jesus was invited there. Why? Why would Jesus be invited to somebody's wedding he didn't know?
Right.
And why is the man who got married name mentioned in the book? And why would they say Jesus saved the last wife to the end? And why would they ask Mary or tell Mary they ran out of wine? What would Mary have to do with the wedding? They walked up to Mary and said, we have no wine. Can you tell your son? And she went and told Jesus. Jesus said, see the black over there door? Right over there. There's usually has water in it, there's wine in there. They walked over and said, oh my God, there's water in there. You say that was a miracle. They say in Christianity that was before Jesus' first miracle. So if it wasn't a miracle, then he must have lived in that house. Whose house was it? Mary of Magdalene's house. His wife. He had children. His mother Mary had children before Jesus was born. And then it looked like the blessed mother Mary was walking along and the Spirit jumped out of heaven on her. She had six other kids before Jesus was born. She wasn't no virgin. The prophecy of Isaiah said, a virgin shall give birth. Read the Bible, you find out that James, Joseph, Mary, and John, other children that Mary had before Jesus was born. So she wasn't no virgin. Why are they lying to you?
want you to know the truth. Because you can't handle it. You don't want the truth. You love living this lie. It's so convenient. But when you start pointing out the fact, people get upset. They get mad. They start calling you a blasphemer, antichrist. They got all kinds of names to call you, to keep you from waking up people and showing them the truth. There is no such thing. There's no God sitting up on no throne with his all merciful love for you. No. You need that love because your parents deserted you. So you need a parent figure. So you made God a loving old man. He said, oh, come on. And when this God who controls nature does things that you cannot justify as merciful, you block it as if it didn't happen. We were talking about this the other day. A big windstorm took place the other day. You remember it?
Yeah.
So the nation was working. A woman and a man was walking along with their baby. Her wife had the baby. This is the story. That's twice. I'm glad to be here. And the wind got so heavy that the man, being the leader of the house as he feels or has been taught to believe, grab the baby from the wife to hold the baby. And the whirlwind snatched the baby out of the man's arm, and they have not seen the baby since. This is on. I got a box. The father, a woman found a woman, and called the baby. This is last week. Right? She hit the ditch, and waves came through the car, grabbed the baby. They have not seen the baby spin. Now, who's doing that? The devil? So the devil controls the weather. When it's sunny on your picnic, and y'all have a successful event, did the devil give y'all a successful event? Who controls the weather, God or the devil? Who controls the tornadoes and the earthquakes and the floods and the landslides? Who is controlling it, God or the devil? Because when you get right down to it and find out how destructive it is, you don't want to even believe that God would do such things. But you know what? It's happening every day. Who makes a child born blind? Who makes a child born without limbs? Who is responsible for Siamese twins joined at the head and sharing one brain? And the family has to decide which one of these children will live. It comes the deciding factor between life and death on one of those children. Who controls those types of things? Who decides that if gang is having a...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is Girl Shop Less, and I'm back in the building. Ah. Hey.
Thank you. my freedom. Saudi Arabian boy, you got your freedom. You hear me? Sudanese, you got your freedom. Lebanese, you got your freedom. Palestinians, you don't have your freedom. They gave your freedom to the Jews. And your Muslim brothers won't help you unless you get massacred. That's a song for you. But they're over here living in hotels and chasing French and British women. Everybody else got their freedom. And it's not about talking about us being free. And I say got my freedom. I don't mean walking up to you and say, mister, give me my freedom. I mean never get out of my face. I'm not talking about petitioning to him for a request. I mean putting the documents together for the international community to tell who we are, to tell our story. And tell them all mass. Malians. Moors. If you need this Bible, Israelite, Midianite, and all other types, but I can't prove this thing. You cannot prove the Bible is authentic. No Christian scholar has, no Muslim or Jew has been able to prove it's authentic. You hear me? So therefore you can't use it in a court of law. So you have to shed that. Now, if you decide once you get your nation established to come back and want to be Christian because of the spiritualness of it, that's fine. But for the factualness of it, it doesn't hold any weight. The Quran has not been proven to be authentic. There are errors in it. There are errors in the Bible. The Bible says the sun rises. God would know if the sun doesn't rise. The Quran says the sun rises. Allah would know the sun doesn't rise. So now we have to find out who the hell wrote this. And where were they looking from? See, because if this book is a book of the Word of God, and he said, and there was evening and there was morning on the third day. You see? You remember? God says there was evening and there was morning on the third day in this book in the Quran. What is God looking from? You can't see evening and morning if you're looking from heaven in. You have to be on earth to know evening and morning. But evening and morning is determined by the illusion of the sun rising and setting. So now where was God standing in order for him to say there was evening and morning on the third day? And he said it over 6 times. Where was he at? Yeah. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the human, upon the face of the waters in Hebrew, or the surface of the water. God's Spirit, Ruach in Hebrew, moved upon the surface of the water. So God was inside this atmosphere. You understand that? And if God was inside the sphere, then God has size. God has width and length. That's what the message is trying to tell me through. Yes? Then they tell me and you in the Islamic world that when we get to heaven, we're going to find rivers flowing. Right? Did you hear? And there's a garden with trees, with grapevines. Well, there ain't going to be wine in heaven. There ain't going to be no wine without no grapes. You understand? In order for us to have wine and grapes, we got to have vines. Right? And vines, like all other trees, breathe in and give off. And the oxygen and the carbon monoxide is created by conditions in this earth's atmosphere. You hear me? In order for there to be a river in heaven, whether it's Tofa or whatever, there must be H2O. Because a river is made up of water. Right? The Quran clearly repeats over and over again that if you Muslims are good, you're going to a garden under which or beneath which rivers flow. But what else does it say? On a scientific forum, what else does it say? It says that oxygen is in health. And oxygen is also a product of this atmosphere, which is what astronomers are having a problem with when they get outside the Earth's atmosphere. It's called breathing. It's a little difficult to breathe where there's no air. You know what I mean? So, if there's no air out there, then there's no oxygen out there, there's no carbon dioxide out there. So if there's no oxygen, you ain't got no rivers in paradise, no blue light. Ain't no wine going to be there. I tell you what they said. They said right here in Matthew, thy kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven. And all the fool-ass Christians and preachers that got these things, you going outside there where there is no air. Before, no. When this is a book in the Quran that will be revealed, they didn't have astronauts going out there then. But they knew what. So they didn't have the knowledge of what surrounded the planet. You with me? So it's easy for a preacher back in Jesus' time to get up and say, in my father's house, there are many mansions. It's easy for his father that stood there and watched Jesus go up in body. If Jesus went up in body, Jesus did not go above 6 miles. Because if one boy Jesus went up above 6 miles, they wouldn't have to crucify him after he was suffocated. Now you wait. It's not. You might not like the way that sounds, but you know what? It's a dead one.
That's right.
But if you start running the real truth, you don't give a damn how people feel. Because you don't want your baby taught the lies you were taught to us. They made us so passive that we're in some distance where we got to get permission. Or this boy, like, he can't function. You're in a system where you get married and they step in it. It's a wedding. No, you got married. They stepped in and said, by the power invested in me, I pronounce you man and wife. What are you doing in this? You weren't there when I met him. You weren't there when I called him. You weren't there when I tripped out of the first one. But now that we decided to make it legal, they make little statements like, by the power invested in me, what? What does this say? What does this book say about marriage? They said, whosoever who brings together what? So how the reverend get the right to step in and play God? The Bible, according to them, said, whosoever the Lord brings together, let no man set up something. And then the reverend said, right in front of y'all in the church, by the power invested in me, I pronounce you man and wife. He becomes the most outraged blasphemer on the planet. He takes the position of God to bring husband and wife together. And gets away with it. Some reverend is doing it right now while we're talking. He is lying. As long as we keep staying up under those kind of stupid, idiotic rules, we don't have a chance of freeing ourselves and thinking for ourselves. We're doing for ourselves. How do you feel about what happened to Rodney King? How do you feel about it? Deep down in the gut, how do you feel about it? I don't care what he did. I mean, he was stabilized or was a little early. Incapacitated long before they've been whooping on him. Anyway, how do you feel about that, black man? How do you feel? And the fact that you and I can't do nothing about it. And that every time the lights put on behind us, and a blue light down here, I don't know what's up north, what's down here, but a blue light starts, we don't know. My body goes through a funny type of feeling. I don't know what's going to happen. And this is women also, but they can get ready because she's got me. I don't know what's going to happen when that light gets on behind me. You know? Who's laughing about that? I mean, why don't you? Any of y'all watch police story from those, one of the rest? You watch them, baby? Yeah. You know, the one? What is the one? Thank you, one. Right? Well, in police stories, or programs like that, but then you may, you have to be one of us. He's the one that does the music for it, and we talk about it. And he pointed out something that was really interesting, I didn't notice. And I looked at it and didn't notice. You ever notice when they arrest white people, they sit next to cops, kicking the cop with you, while they're talking?
Where did Allah get the sperm or the clot of
congealed blood to create. That's why they don't like me. That's why the Muslims want to kill me. That's why a white Christian down here can't stand me. They're one of the dumb Nigerian looking at me. That's why. Because I was raised up amongst you to ask questions. I'm not trying to be light. I'm your friend, but I'm not trying to be light. I'm about setting the record straight. That's all. You know what? I'm not as great as Dr. Martin Luther King or Malcolm X or Noble Valley or Uncle Elijah Muhammad. I'm not that great. I'm just here to set the record straight, and I'm not going to be light. And when you get on this thing and walk with me, you're not going to be light. When you want the truth, you're not going to be light. They want you to want faith. They want you to want belief. They don't want you to want the truth. When you ask for the truth, people get mad. You hear me? And why? Let me tell you a hidden feeling of what prompts me to speed this situation up. It's called zoning. You hear me? I'm going to draw a line like this. I'm going to draw a line like that. And this is the zone. You see it? Life forms are living in layers of existence. If this is cold, and this is hot, and then you need to go get it the other way, then there are species of living entities that live here that can't live and vice versa. You hear me? Now, let's place you here. Let's make you the middle zone. Okay? Nature has it set up where when you comply with her, she works with you. When like the dinosaurs, you stop complying, she eliminates your ass. You hear me? Nature has it set up because of the chain of life that certain animals eat other animals. Now, don't let me go too far with you, you know me. You watch television and you see a lion chase Bambi and tear Bambi's neck off on another chicken. And you think, how cruel. You don't think how cruel God. You hear me? You don't think how cruel God. You just think how cruel. Well, you see that this is a water. You see that? And this is a beach. And these little holes in the beach are little cocoons where mother turtles came out of the water, planted their eggs, and then went back in the water. A couple of weeks later, little baby turtles are born. They're born on the beach. Yes? And they have to get to the water. Otherwise, they die. Is this true? Yes. Seagulls know that too. God allowed seagulls to know that. He could have made it that seagulls didn't know that. But we don't even know when they're coming to bash us in the house either. You know what I'm saying? However, God let seagulls and other birds that prey on these baby turtles fly around here. You hear me? And then when the baby turtles are hatched, they all run for their lives. And they race from the beach across the sand, and they get in the water, they're safe. Out of 100,000 of them, maybe 50 million. That's another odd, huh? That's cruel. That is some cruel shit to think of. I don't care how found you. That's some real raunchy shit. To have a little baby, like as if a mother, let's just put it in human life. A mother is laying on the beach, she has a baby, the baby needs water, the baby has to crawl to the water while leaving the moon with bats on there. That really happens. That's a scientific fact. Is it in the Bible? No. Hell no. Is it in the Quran? Hell no. God tell you about some of his little idiosyncrasies? Why do you inform us about some of that crap? You hear me? This is cruel for a loving God. You know, I can go on for about 5 hours and talk about nature and the way this system is set up that would actually eliminate your belief in some loving God sitting up there with phones and all those things. You know, what's the devil? What's the devil? Come on, just one guy. He's hungry. That's the idea of God. You are bypassing reality. And when you go to religious people and say, let's talk about some reality, some science, some facts, they say, no, 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 you got to have faith. No, no, boy, you got to believe. You got to be filled with the ghost. You're not saved. You're not saved. That's the spirit of God talking to me in tongues. That'll do it to you. You know what I'm saying? And I sit there in that church, and my grandmother going on 75 and just popping up that week. She's in it. She's really thinking elephant Sarah, but she's popping up. All of a sudden, with Reverend jumping around, Grandma wants to get up out of the chair, just like I went about in the pond here, I was doing.
God does not use fire. The devil, according to the
this Bible uses fire. So now why is God going to burn me up on judgment day? Should he love me up? The power of God is control over all things. All things are possible if you believe in God. Isn't that what they say? So why doesn't God simply remove all evil out of the world? That way. Move it off. Can God do it? Can Allah do it? Can Allah say couldn't fire good, be in existence as it is, and all evil is out of the world? All sickness, all racism, all hate, all wars. Can he do it? The question is, can he do it? Yes or no? If he does, yes, he would. He can't, so he shan't. Look at yourself and think about that. People here, how many of you here have a cavity?
Don't be funny.
How many of you have a cavity or had a cavity? How many of you got fillings in your mouth? A simple thing like that, please tell me, why was it necessary? Why couldn't you, in the image and after the likeness of God, be created so perfect that your teeth could not rot? Can God's teeth rot? Can God's teeth rot? I'm asking you. No, man, God's teeth can't rot. Can God hide so bad? No. Did God get a limp? Did God get arthritis, rheumatism, back pain, headache, migraines, rashes, asthma, high blood pressure, sugar, diabetes? Won't give me some more. Oh, y'all know. Come on. Cancer. Hey. Can God get these things naturally? If we are in the image and after the likeness of God, then tell me how we get them. Shouldn't we have a perfect body? And nothing should go wrong with it. That's my question. That's why I'm not lying. Because I'm punching that kind of question to break down a shield, a barrier in your mind. I know Rev got a butt. A butt. But he'll never butt in front of me. He'll only butt in front of you. But I don't know he's butt with butt what. But explain to me this. Explain to me crazy death. I'm not talking about the scientific. I'm talking about the emotional thing that the mother goes through. Explain to me God's love when a woman is allowed to give birth to a baby, and within the first couple of weeks that baby is gone dead. And doctors are saying we're not sure what it is, so we'll call it cradle death because the baby died in the cradle. Real scientific answer. I mean, that's like, you know, this is a podium. Because it's a podium. But what about the mother? What about the father who lost that baby and how they're broken up? I don't know the name of this disease. Maybe the doctor, Dr. Bracken, something else. Dr. Bracken, something else. See, you made me forget. 52 years old, how did they die? Something else, another disease. What do you call it? Oh, when women, thank you. Whoever threw that door up there, thank you very much. When women first have a baby, within the first 6 to 7 months, she goes into a state where she's dangerous enough to actually kill her own baby. What is it? That's the term we know, postpartum. There's another term. There's a scientific term. The doctors actually studied the DNA, and they found out that mother is capable of killing a baby, and so is a father. The cry of a baby can incite a man to kill his own baby. What do you call it? Somebody said, don't be afraid, I'm up there. I'm up there making an answer. I'm up there. Come on, come on in. I'm doing it for you. If I knew, I wouldn't be asking y'all. If I'm saying asking, y'all will know. What I told you tonight's word is the word for having a good come on, that is true. But you have it, and you know that that's happening. The women are there acting videotape women beating their own kid in the head with a spoon, grabbing the baby by one arm and picking the baby up and throwing it across the room because the baby's crying, they get something quick. And this is not insanity, this is temporarily insanity caused by some genetic problem.
Much after the proxy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I needed you, buddy. Baby, why does that happen for all you people who don't seem to understand what I'm trying to do here? Why does that happen? Don't you get the gist of what I'm saying? Why does God let that happen? And the question is what? Could we exist without that happening?
Yes, we could.
Could we exist without this happening? But all turtles don't go to this. Just some. Could we exist without the world hate? Could we exist without the world racism? Could we exist without the rape? The murder, the mass murder, the serial murder. You know what we have to give up to get a world like that? Religion. Because this book here, this book is, was taught to you before you were born. And this book got rape in it. Where they raped the Levites, they raped Dina. This book has incest in it. Where Lot and his daughters laid up with him. This book has cannibals in it. Where women boiled and ate their sons and daughters. This book has what? Murder. Decapitation. What? Lying. Stealing. This book was so gross that God cried because of it. Said the evils of man were so wicked and tendency to grieve God to his heart that he had created man according to this book. Now you understand that's in Genesis? How could God be that greed and not change his mind? Just walk with me. Don't hate me for this. Walk with me. How could God look at something he created and hurt him so much because the thing he created had become so evil that he wouldn't snap his finger and remove that? Rather, he said, I'm just going to drown. His solution was to drown all human beings and some animals rather than just simply say, I can't take it no more. I want my children in my image and after my likeness. Devil and evil and hate, you've got it. You understand? Why did we do it? Why are we left like this? Let me talk to you about another thing before I go to zone. Again, Dr. Brighton, a chance to clean up. What is the average now? The average age of the average person dying nowadays? I'm asking the doctor, you got to be real with you? Who do you want to do it for? Mama? What's that? Okay, I'm just, anybody close to 70, before the doctor, right, he might not be here. let's give him a round of applause. Let's get the hell out of somebody. That's why I asked him, that I wasn't going to do that, because there might be somebody 70. And I'm 72.
I'm almost
70. Well, see, he ain't been with all of us. Oh, shit, well, next year. My point, and I made this point several times, I wanted it to die. My point is, why isn't it in reverse? Why isn't it in reverse? Why does a loving, caring God put this in reverse? Do you feel better now at your age 59, or did you feel better when you was 19? I'm 52, and I can agree with you. I got my what? 20 more months out? Why wasn't this done in reverse? Would we have known the difference if God would have did it in reverse? Do we have to sit there and watch the people we love become old and feeble and ache and their joints swell and their back hurt and they forget their own grandchildren? My grandmother told me my brother every time she saw me. She was always after, why is this in reverse? Why are we born old and gradually enjoy youth and health and go out a feeble little innocent baby, having done 70 years of such wonderful things that people still cry when we leave? Why is it that I must be born? Now listen to the word, dependent and independent. Why must I be born dependent? Like a baby born, if it does not get the support of its parents, it'll die. Why are we amongst the creatures? We're supposed to be like that. I'm just saying, because God loves you, think that I love your ass. Why are we among sea turtles when we could have been born like other turtles who were born safe, born in the bottom of the water? You with me? Why are we one of the creatures that when we're born, if someone don't aid us with it, that's the image that likes to God, and we don't become independent from a dependent creature until we get up to about 18 years old? Because sometimes between 16, 17, 14, 15, we think we know each other. We don't know different shit. But we think we do. Young people, why is this in reverse? Can anybody tell me? Yes. Adam didn't need to get born. Why is that system still in existence? That's what I'm talking about. You with me? Why are we left to suffer? When it gets damp like a day like this, you young people don't know that we older people, when it gets damp, our joints hurt. From all the times we fell off bicycles or ran up against a basketball pole in the basketball court, all those little minor injuries and the time we kicked our toe and don't know, you know that most of you people there got broken toe bones and you just don't know it? Or just don't know it. Damn, didn't even know you broke the bone. But when you get older, when you step down off that bed and your nerves become more sensitive, anybody bear witness, any older folks in here? Tell these young folks, I'm telling you the truth. As you get older, for no apparent reason whatsoever, you get up with pain. You understand? Let me ask y'all another, you young people, another question. Can you imagine how it's going to be to have to eat without teeth? You don't care right now. That's why you're munching up on candy and shit all the time. And your mother, your father, or somebody like me, I'll tell you, don't eat all that goddamn candy. You got the candy in the mouth. And I'll say to one of my kids, where's that piece of candy at? Because you know it's right up against you, too. You realize that sugar is going in there, acid is going inside you. You don't understand those terms. But then when they got to make that first dentist visit, they don't know. They go there like, I'm going somewhere with daddy, mama. And then they meet like this. They look at me like you betrayed them. Is that right? How many people right now want to go to dentist? Want to go to dentist? Want, listen again, not have to go to dentist. How many people right now want to go to dentist? Who arranged this system? A loving God? How many people there need glasses? Well, let me tell y'all all, when you get 40, all you niggas gonna need glasses. And you're going to need bifocals. And thank goodness they got with that door with impressive men. But then, you know, we got a big old thing up here with our eyes looking big. On one side, you know this. Thank God for technology that he had nothing to do with because he's the one that fucked our eyes up. And some scientists came up with a solution, which comes back to zoning again. Before I leave. Do you hear what I'm trying to tell y'all? Y'all better wake up and see that what we were thinking was God was the devil. The devil has been controlling our lives all the time, making wars. We hit right in the bottom, man. Let me just find something here. This is a Bible. Oh, you got, oh, this is really shoot. What a function of this. You got this. This is like McDonald's cash register. You know about McDonald's cash register, right? I mean, it's something to work where they got pictures on the damn beach. You know, it's something. In this there Bible, in Matthew 24, here it says, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and the disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be torn down. Why not? Why? Why must the temple come down? You're missing that part when you read the Bible. You're interested in the prophecy. You're interested in the story. And you're not starting to say, this is God he's talking to. What? No, God, don't let the devil come down, okay? Because people, you know, God, just be there. Why? Okay, whatever. I don't know. I hope you're with me. And he says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Jesus, you have private conversation here. Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So there's God incarnate, and his disciples came to him and asked him about this temple he said is going to fall. And he said, what's going to be the sign of your coming back? What's going to be the sign of the end of the world? And what's going to be the sign of the fall of the temple? And here's what Jesus said. This is God in flesh who knows all things. This is how he answers. With me? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed, be careful. I'm sitting next to God, and God is saying, fucking be careful. I don't have a chance in life if God is telling me, watch out. God saying, watch out. Like, what can't happen to you if God says, watch out? If God can be careful, anything, you could be hit by a zeppelin underwater. I mean, you could be ran over by a train in the bathroom on the third floor. If God says, watch out. The disciples all should have went into a fish and blew their mind. I'm sitting next to God, he said, you better be careful. Oh. The next thing is, God ain't going nowhere. He ain't leaving me. If he said be careful, the most careful way like me is like this. And then the disciples had a conversation, and Jesus said, well, I'll be leaving. And I'm coming back. And he was like, okay. Okay. God is standing here. God said, I'm leaving. And he said, okay. You know, excuse me, I don't know about the other 11 brothers there, but you don't mind if I go with you. What about you? How about God? You know, God's standing right there. He's like an indie person. He has a hand. I don't know about the rest. That happened in the next of his own story, too. It said the master brought Muhammad and told the messenger, well, I'm getting ready to leave. So, okay. Leave where? Where you going? Can I go? No, you can't go. You ain't going in. And if I can restrain your ass, you ain't going to go. If you ain't even me here, we all this hell. Let me see. Anyway, so God says, take heed that no man deceive you. They wouldn't be able to if you was less than Bob. Hear me? He says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So the Christians have read this chapter and said, see, there's going to be many people saying that Christ. That's not what it says. It says, many are going to come in his name saying he is Christ. They're going to pronounce Jesus as Christ. That's who we got to watch out for. Not some fool like Yahweh and Yahweh saying, I'm Christ. It'll be long before we figure out he ain't Christ. We got to watch the people that are pointing the finger at other people and say, behold Christ. Because it says that later on in this same chapter. If they say he's in the sky, don't believe them. They say he's in the east, don't believe it. They repeat it. But Christians use this and say, any man that says he's Christ, any man that says he's Christ is fucking nuts. We ain't got to go to that chapter. That guy's a fool. Now let's get past this. You know what I'm saying? Now let's get to ones who are out there like Jimmy Swagger. Yeah. You know what swagger means, don't you? It means to stick your hand in somebody's pocket and say something. Jimmy Baker means to Jimmy the lock off the door and steal something. Coincidentally, guys got all these crooked names. Reverend Price. Reverend Price. And these people are caught in the name of Jesus, they say, doing all kind of evil things. Now, we know they're not in the name of Jesus for real. Not in the name of the real Jesus. Let me just say for a record straight for a minute. If you think, you folks here, if y'all think I'm talking about our Savior, Jesus, I am not. If you think I'm insulting our true Heavenly Father, I am not. I'm talking about this bullcrap. I'm not talking about the fact that the Savior is coming to us. I am not talking about that. I'm talking about this whitewashed bullcrap. If you think I'm talking about the Heavenly Father, I'm saying he doesn't involve himself in those mundane things like that. We were put over those things. It says so. I gave you dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over everything that we've. You're responsible for all this stuff happening as God. And that's why I said it though. Is it not written in your law? I said you are God. God declared you are God and gave you responsibility for everything on earth. And you took off that throne of that robe of godliness and became an animal.